Agatha Raisin by M.C. Beaton, dramatized for radio by David Semple, starring Penelope Keith as Agatha. Episode 3, Buried Treasure.
So, Mrs. Raisin, how long have you been smoking?
Is this relevant? I thought you were going to hypnotize me, not write my biography.
It just helps me build up a picture. It's so hard to date smokers. It has such an aging effect on the skin.
Well, you could always cut me open and count the rings.
Sorry, I wasn't trying to be offensive.
No, I'm sure it comes naturally.
Mrs. Raisin, are you sure you want to give up?
Yes, of course. Now, can we get this over with?
Right. Now, breathe in. And out.
Mrs. Raisin?
Oh, sorry, Mrs. Boxley, I was miles away.
I could tell. When James Lacey was giving us his book reading, someone was in the arms of Morpheus.
Oh, dear, was I that obvious?
At first we thought the noise was a storm brewing, but then we saw you flat on your back on the ping-pong table. It's this wretched hypnotherapy.
I keep falling asleep.
Oh, yes, how is that going?
Oh, absolute disaster, I'm afraid.
Well, why's that?
Well, it actually works. I haven't had a you-know-what for over a week.
Well, I thought the whole idea of the hypno-what's-it was to give up the you-know-what.
Oh, no. I went to hypnotherapy so that I could tell people I'd tried and then they'd stop nagging me.
Well, perhaps you could be hypnotized to make you start again.
I hope so. I need some pleasure in life. At the moment, every time I put a you-know-what in my mouth, it tastes of burning rubber.
Oh, goodness. I hope my cheese straws don't have that effect on you. You couldn't pass them round, could you?
Are there many people left?
Oh, yes, they're still queuing up to get their book signed. Ah, oh, Mr. Lacey is quite the local celebrity.
Yes, who would have thought the Cardley ladies would be quite so interested in the Peninsula War?
Just one more, Mr. Lacey. It's for my son, Jeremy.
I didn't know you had children, Mrs. Hicks.
Oh, yes. My son's at Oxford University, you know.
Is he really? Which college?
I just told you. Oxford University.
Right. To Jeremy, best of luck with your education.
Oh, he will appreciate this. He's such a gifted boy.
Yes, I'm sure he is.
James, I couldn't trouble you for just one more, could I?
Certainly, Mrs. Friendly. Is it for you?
Oh, yes. A little something to curl up with under the duvet on these long winter nights.
Right. To Mrs. Friendly, best wishes, James Lacey.
You must have signed 100 this evening. I'm amazed your wrist can stand up to it.
Yes, well, that's the army training, you know. You spent several months arm wrestling at Sandhurst, so your wrist is ready for years and years of paperwork.
Really?
No, that was a joke. Sorry.
You and your jokes, James. You are a one.
Leave the door, anybody.
Not while I'm talking to Mr. Lacey. Oh, you're awake now, are you?
I was not asleep. I was listening with my eyes closed. Well, if no one else is having one.
Have you thought of a sequel? I mean, there are so many other wars to write about. I'm a huge fan of the Hundred Years War.
Good Lord, are you all right?
Sorry. It's the hypnotherapy. Sometimes when I put something in my mouth, it tastes of burning rubber.
So, not content with drowning out the reading with your snoring, you now decide to liberally coat my coffee with cheese straws.
It was an accident.
Funny how I'm always on the receiving end of your accidents. Oh, look, it's all over my old O'Neill pashmina.
Goodness, and just when they were about to come back into fashion.
Right, well, if we could all just give a big round of applause for James Lacey. Thank you. I'll just get a dustpan and brush.
Well, Agatha, I'm proud of you.
Why's that? Because I spat out food at your book signing?
Because you've given up the evil weed. If you now project pastry crumbs over people, that's a small price to pay.
Makes me even more tetchy than usual. I mean, when Mrs. Friendly started going on about her pashmina, I just wanted to throttle her with it. I mean, the woman is a complete...
Would you like a lift?
Mrs. Friendly, we were just talking about you.
Yes, do hop in. You are only two doors down from me.
Yes, and I actually live next door to you.
Oh, so you do. Well, you can go in the back, but try not to spit on the upholstery. You'd best go in the front, James. You've got such long legs.
Right.
Yes.
Well,
James, I must say, your talk certainly spiced up the Ladies' Society. I mean, it can be so dreary.
But it's quite a nice way to meet the village. I mean, I never knew that Mrs. Hicks had a son at Oxford.
Yes, they really have lowered their entry requirements. Jeremy always struck me as a bit of a yob. Bright blue hair and a permanent scowl. He looked like a satanic budgie.
Well, me being just a teensy bit censorious. I mean, during the Regency period, a powder blue wig was the height of fashion.
I think he's a very nice young man. I hope he comes to visit soon.
Actually, James, you must have met him. He came home last summer, remember? About the time we had all the burglaries and your computer was stolen.
You're implying that two things were connected.
Now, there's a thought. I must tell Bill Wong. It never occurred to me that it...
Can we leave the poor boy alone, please? As he isn't here to defend himself.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And we don't want to see budgies put behind bars.
James. Now, how are things going with your battle reenactment?
Oh, it's all systems go. I just need one or two more cavalier costumes.
Well, if my sewing circle can do anything to assist...
What battle reenactment?
Well, you must have heard, surely. We've been discussing it at the Ladies' Society for months.
I didn't hear anything.
Perhaps you were asleep.
Yeah, March the 31st, we're restaging the Civil War on the village green.
Well, I wish you'd told me. I can turn my hand to a bit of sewing.
I suppose then you don't have a cigarette in it.
No, have you noticed the way her hand shakes? I don't think that'll be threading many needles.
Well, thank you very much for the lift.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes, likewise.
No, Mrs. Raisin, I'll drop you off at your door.
It's only 12 yards
away. I'll drop you off at your door.
Right.
Mrs. Raisin, a friendly word.
Fire away, Mrs. Friendly.
A number of people at the Cardley Ladies' Society have been discussing how embarrassing it is the way you fling yourself at James Lacey.
The way I offer him lifts and buy 6 copies of his book to sign?
Well, that's different. He can get on with someone like me.
What's that supposed to mean?
Someone with a sense of history. I mean, what do you know about the Civil War? You probably don't even know when it ended.
Indeed, Mrs. Friendly, because it's only just begun.
No!
Chivers, please put down the daddy long legs. It's all right for you. Your little pleasures don't make you fat or spotty or wrinkly. Right, I'll have one more go at lighting a cigarette. I do like cigarettes. They are delicious. I do like cigarettes. They are delicious. Oh, for heaven's sake. Hello. Yes, who is it?
That's a nice way to talk to your oldest and dearest friend.
Oh, Roy, it's not fair. I've lost the ability to smoke.
Well, so long as you can chew your food and dress yourself.
No, I've been to a hypnotherapist and he's made them taste disgusting. I've just thrown the last packet into the garden.
Oh, well, his curse will wear off eventually and by then they'll have grown into a tobacco plantation.
Are you calling for anything in particular or just to mock?
Well, partly to mock and partly to gloat. You know you said I could never get a job in television.
Oh, yes.
I've just got a job in television.
Doing what? Muffin the Mule stunt double?
Actually, I'm a senior program consultant.
Oh, I see. You're a researcher, but they've given you a fancy job title.
I'll have you know, our company has made some extremely prestigious documentaries for the History Channel.
Which company?
Well, it's me, my friend Gary, and the bloke with the fairy microphone.
How prestigious can one get? What are you working on at the moment?
Oh, it's called Treasure Island. We go all around the country digging up the legendary lost treasures of history.
And I suppose you've buried them the night before.
How dare you insult our integrity? Only if we're desperate.
I thought so. Roy, you wouldn't know anything about the Civil War, would you?
I think Gary did something on that last year. It's always popular with the overseas market.
Really? That might just come in useful.
Oh, my word, Mrs. Friendly. It's all going great guns in here.
We're pulling out all the stops, James. If our famous author wants 50 Dragoons uniforms, then he shall surely have them.
How am I doing, Mr. Lacey?
Oh, sterling effort, Mrs. Hicks. The Cavaliers did have brass buttons.
Are you sure?
Oh, definitely. I don't think we can go with toggles. I'll get that. Don't want anyone to drop their stitches.
Mrs. Hicks, do remind me to get James's inside leg measurement.
Didn't you take that yesterday, Mrs. Friendly?
I did, but I must have mislaid it.
Ladies, you can put down your needles and threads. I have something that might make your lives a little easier.
Oh, Mrs. Raisin, the suspense is killing me.
Costumes from a recent film about the Civil War.
Good Lord, that could be useful.
Oh.
Or possibly not.
What's the matter?
Well, I was hoping for regimental coats, knee breeches, feathered hats, and these are all frock coats and cravats.
They've all been authenticated. They're from a documentary about the Civil War.
Yes, it's the American Civil War. Still, they'll come in useful if Carsley Amateur Dramatics ever put on God with the Wind.
Well, how was I supposed to know which Civil War? You never said.
Well, thank heavens you didn't go for the Spanish Civil War, or we'd all be in sombreros. Hasta la vista, Mrs. Raven.
Raisin, it is nice to see you.
I'm glad someone thinks so.
Oh, could you close the door, please? I've
got flour on my fingers. Baking again, Mrs. Bloxby.
Oh, I'm making a batch of scones for the Civil War reenactment. I thought that between battles we could all make peace and have a green tea.
If only you'd been around, the real Civil War would have been so much more civil.
So, what can I do for you? Do have a seat.
Thank you. I want to ask you a question about history.
History, Mrs. Rose?
Yes. Do you know any stories about treasure being buried round here?
Buried treasure? Well, there is one local legend.
Oh, yes.
Well, as you know, there were a lot of battles around here between Roundheads and Cavaliers, and there was one story about a royalist soldier, Sir Geoffrey Lamont, I think his name was, who was on the run from Cromwell. And they think that he hid out in this village. He was supposed to have had a fortune in gold and jewels, all his worldly goods, but when they found him, he did not have a penny.
I see. So, either he buried his fortune somewhere in the village, or he bought a sandwich at Mrs. Harvey's shop.
Well, yes, something like that. Why are you so interested?
Just thought I'd take up a new hobby, that's all. Has anyone ever looked for it?
Well, the Historical Society did go looking a few years ago, but all they found was a supermarket trolley. Mind you, they did get £1 for it.
Always the way. Well, it's a good story. Though I suspect it was invented by the Cotswold Tourist Board.
Actually, Mrs. Raisin, I'm very glad you're here because there was something I wanted to ask you.
Oh, yes?
Do you know anything at all about gay people?
Mrs. Bloxby, what do you want to know?
Well, I've got a friend, and for a long time I've been wondering if her son might be gay. It's just a suspicion. But there's been a strange kind of rift between mother and son, a tension, a friction, something in the air.
Are you talking about Mrs. Hicks?
Oh, goodness gracious, how did you know?
Well, there must be a rift between those two the size of the Cheddar Gorge. She's always talking about how clever Jeremy is, how gifted. But have you noticed? He never comes home to visit.
Yes, well, they used to be extremely close before Mr. Hicks died and Jeremy dyed his hair, but I think she may have driven him away. She can be very small-minded at times.
Mm. Her brain is in sharp contrast to the size of her mouth. But what do you want to ask me?
Well, I thought that you might know some gay people, you know, working in the media, and I wondered if perhaps there was a book or a leaflet that we could give Mrs. Hicks that would make her realise that her son is just the same wonderful person that he was before he...
Yes. You know my friend Roy, who used to work in PR with me?
Oh, yes, he's such a nice young man.
It has been rumoured that he's gay.
Really? Well, just goes to show you can't tell by looking.
Yes. Perhaps I can have a word with him.
Hello?
Roy, it's me. I wanted to talk to you about homosexuality.
Oh, So living in the country has had its effect on you. I suppose it's all those long walks in sensible shoes.
No, it's just I've got this friend in the village.
Oh, yes, a friend.
Yes, and we think her son might be, well, licking the other side of the stump. And I just wondered, do you have any books or leaflets, you know, to say that gay people don't always eat babies?
Well, as long as you pay the postage.
Oh, you don't need to send them. You're coming up to Cardley at the weekend with your film crew.
I'm not dragging myself up the M40 again. Why should I?
To look for buried treasure.
Britain. Land of heritage and history. But what mysterious secrets lay buried in its nooks and crannies? Over the next 26 weeks, we intend to dig and delve until this green and pleasant land looks like the surface of the moon. And so we come to the picturesque village of... what's it called again?
Honestly, Roy, you're hopeless. And I don't know why you're playing to the camera. They haven't even turned it on yet.
I am just trying to establish the certain je ne sais quoi of this particular mise-en-scene.
Do they actually use your voiceover on the finished programme?
No, they don't, actually. Apparently, I do not have enough gravitas. They take it down to Soho and Jonathan Ross does it.
Tell you what, I'll have a go.
No, no, you won't. You're not stealing my TV career before it's even begun.
Oh, belt up. I'm doing you a favour. This is how it's done, Carsley. In the rolling green hills of the Cotswolds. A peaceful place. But put your ear to the ground and you can hear the echo of former wars being fought. For it was here in 1642 that Oliver Cromwell led his soldiers...
Mrs. Raisin!
Oh, Mrs. Hicks. Oh, have you met my friend Roy?
Is he the one who sent me that disgusting book?
Not me, no, never.
Well, someone did. And I assume it's to do with those rumours that have been spreading about my son.
Oh, Jeremy, how is he these days?
Oh, Jeremy's as right as rain. Though he's extremely busy with the rugby team. I mean, they're playing rugby.
Well, that's marvellous.
He certainly has no interest in the kind of smut that you see fit to peddle.
I can assure you my friend would never handle anything that could remotely be described as smutty. Roy, what did you put through her letterbox?
Nothing.
I'll tell you what he put. It was a 200-page hardback, lavishly illustrated throughout, entitled The Joy of Gay Sex.
Oh, Roy.
I was only trying to help.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a very distinguished book.
Really? I'm amazed they haven't serialized it on Woman's Hour.
Give them time.
I phoned Jeremy to tell him, and he was extremely upset.
Well, I'm sorry, but no offense was intended.
No, not about the book, but because I phoned him when he was in the middle of entertaining a charming young French girl called Fifi.
Well, we just want to say that absolutely nothing was meant by the book.
And can we have it back if you're finished with it?
Chivers, even woodlice deserve some sort of existence.
Right, well, I shall be off then.
Oh, Roy, please give it another go. I'm sure there's treasure somewhere in this village.
Aggie, I've been all around the Wrekin dangling my metal detector, but it wouldn't even go pink.
But it's a famous legend, the treasure of Geoffrey Lamont. Thousands of historians have written about it.
Well, some stories do get told time and time again. The cheque is in the post. Of course you don't look fat. I'll promise I'll phone you.
What wise words come from the mouths of fools.
So, I shall get back to my glamorous London life and leave you to your sad provincial existence.
And now I haven't even got nicotine to help me get through it.
Well, you've still got the handsome historian next door. Has any more snogs?
I am through with James Lacey. He doesn't want someone like me. He wants some timid little country mouse. Oh, I've just got to try and have a cigarette.
Fine by me.
They're out in the garden somewhere. I threw them out along with the lighter.
Well, perhaps my metal detector will come in useful then. Oh, I've forgotten how you make it work.
Possibly the button marked on.
What it is to be technically minded.
I wonder where Chivers went.
Hopefully she's fallen down a mine shaft.
Oh, don't be so horrible. She always seems to get lost in my jungle.
Certainly is a jungle. What happened to that fabulous designer garden I did for you?
Like so much else in my life, it's gone to seed.
Honestly, Aggie, you should just count your blessings.
What are they then?
Well,
There's... No, sorry, can't think of any at the moment.
Hang on a minute, this is weird. What have you got? Is it my lighter?
Oh, no, it's much bigger than that. Stretches halfway across your garden. Now, don't get your hopes up, but it could be a supermarket trolley.
I'm not happy. Do you really think this is the right?
Are you sure?
Agatha, don't you think it's a little premature calling in a film crew? We don't even know what it is down there.
There's no point waiting till we dug it up. Television needs drama, discovery, and adventure.
Yes, the drama of finding an abandoned wheelbarrow. That's well worth a license fee.
Do I detect a note of jealousy?
What on earth do you mean by that?
Well, you're the distinguished historian, but it won't be you getting your picture in the papers.
Agatha, when your newspapers are wrapped around a battered paddock, my book will still be in the shops.
Oh, so you don't think anyone's going to buy it?
I just don't see why you have to turn everything into a media circus. It trivializes it.
Typical Tweedy intellectual. Just because you use mass media doesn't mean you have to be trivial.
Right. Now, all the blokes who are digging, could you take your tops off, please? We need to fix this up a little.
I rest my case.
Oh, Roy.
I'll just get a few vox pops. Gary, follow me and keep your cameras on the local yokel.
Okay, ready to take this one in 3, 2.
I'm standing with the famous author, James Lacey, who wrote some book or other. James, how long have you been living at the Cotswolds?
Getting on for 2 years now.
And where did you live before that?
Is this relevant?
I'm just making conversation. And do you think we're likely to find the legendary lost treasure of Norman Lamont?
Geoffrey Lamont.
Whatever.
Well, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. That's the reason we're standing here.
Now, I've just heard in my earpiece, we have now reached the actual lid of the actual treasure chest. It appears to be made of iron, or possibly silver, or gold, or even aluminium. It's very hard to tell.
Thank heavens for Jonathan Ross.
Now with me are the distinguished PR consultant, Agatha Raisin, and the distinguished greengrocer, Mrs. Friend.
Hello.
So, how did you feel about the treasure hunt?
Well, of course, I pulled out all the stops to make sure it happened. I got in touch with the Historical Society to see if they'd looked here before. I phoned the press and the council.
Oh, friendly by name, friendly by nature.
It's amazing how friendly you can be when there's a TV camera pointing at you.
Well, I just heard they have now unearthed the actual chest. And this is an historical moment, because it's a moment when we actually look at something from history, and you can't get much more historical than that.
No, it isn't.
What?
That trunk is definitely not 17th century.
How can you tell?
Well, there are a number of factors, one of which is the luggage label on it saying, "Welcome to Ibiza."
Who's burying an old trunk in my garden?
Well, this is the moment of truth. Could it be Geoffrey Lamont's treasure? Or somebody's porn collection? They're about to open the box. Well, this is looking a little disappointing. The box is filled with 21st century technology. A video, a mobile phone, a DVD player.
That's my laptop.
What?
My computer that was stolen.
Well, there seems to be something underneath this treasure trove, and we're moving closer to see what it is.
Oh,
what is it, Mrs. Hicks?
It's Jeremy!
Would you like a glass of water, Mrs. Raisin?
No, thank you. Not on top of the 6 cups of coffee I've just had.
Right then. Interview commenced on the 18th of February at 4 p.m. Are you Mrs. Agatha Raisin of 18 Lilac Lane?
You should know by now, Bill.
For the tape. Mrs. Raisin, for the tape.
Yes. That's right, I am.
And this afternoon, I believe, you witnessed the discovery of a body in your back garden.
Well, it wasn't just me. It was half the village, a film crew and 6 half-naked archaeologists.
And you were able to identify this body?
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Raisin is nodding her head.
I know that.
For the tape, so who was it?
It was Jeremy Hicks, who used to live across the road from me.
And do you have any idea how he came to be buried in your garden?
I've no idea how anything gets in my garden. Dead birds, crisp packets, vodka bottles. I'm surprised there was just the one dead body.
And was this body in a container of any kind?
Well, yes, you've got all this on film. It was a sort of enormous metal trunk.
Had you ever seen this container before?
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Raisin is shaking her head.
You have to describe every little thing I do.
For the tape, Mrs. Raisin. Have you any idea how this container came to be in your garden?
No. And instead of asking me fatuous questions, you should talk to Mrs. Hicks and ask why she claims she spoke to her son yesterday when he's clearly been dead for several months. D.C. Wong is raising his eyes to the heavens.
What?
For the tape, D.C. Wong. For the tape.
Well, you succeed in getting your picture in the papers.
Yes, James, and that battered haddock can't come soon enough.
Do they have any idea how the body got into your garden?
No, but as I've had six holidays in the past 2 years, there's been ample opportunity.
Well, come to think of it, it's the perfect place to hide a body. I mean, the chances of you doing any gardening and finding it were fairly remote.
Do you have to turn everything into an insult?
I'm sorry. Force of habit. Oh, let's go outside. I've been talking to your friend Roy. Apparently he wanted to make a fly-on-the-wall documentary following the police around as they solved the murder. He's in a way with a flea in his ear.
Typical Roy. Anyway, it won't be the police who'll solve this murder. It'll be us.
Oh, no. Please, no. Please, 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 no.
At least I'm no longer a suspect. I mean, why would I bury a body, then invite a film crew to watch me dig it up?
I don't know. Sounds like ideal viewing for Channel 4.
Anyway, this would never have happened if I hadn't given up smoking. I knew no good would come of it.
I've never known anyone with such a talent for justifying their appalling vices.
Thank you very much. Well, let's see if the shock of seeing a corpse in my chrysanthemums has lifted the curse.
You're not starting again, are you?
I certainly am. Seeing that body made me realize you never know when death's coming. So why deprive yourself? Embrace life.
Yes, the NHS should really adopt that as a slogan. Embrace life. Smoke a cigarette. And the verdict?
Heavenly. Well, that's got me cured. And now there's just that small matter of a murder.
In Agatha Raisin, Penelope Keith starred as Agatha, and Malcolm Sinclair was James. Linda Barron played Mrs. Hicks, and Joanna Brooks, Mrs. Friendly. Liza Sadovy was Mrs. Bloxby, and Stephen Hogan, D.C. Wong, with James Holmes as Roy. Agatha Raisin was dramatised by David Semple from the novel by M.C. Beaton, and the producer was Carol Smith.